From Pioneer 90.1 KSRQ in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, this is Polka Profiles. I'm your host, Glenn Brockett. This week, we caught up with a man who has been in the polka business for well over 50 years. Chuck Thiel was a second-generation polka gentleman who also had the good fortune of having one of his sons play with him and is still playing with him in his band, the Jolly Ramblers. We're going to hear about what it's like to be in the polka game for 50-plus years, where he thinks the polka music scene is headed, and we'll talk about some of the great releases him and the band put out. It's Polka Profiles, Chuck Thiel. I'm Chuck Thiel and his Jolly Ramblers now. My guest today has been on the polka radar for well over 50 years, along with his band, the Jolly Ramblers. Well, to tell us the story behind the music, I'm bringing in the man himself. I'm bringing in Mr. Chuck Thiel, the man behind the Jolly Ramblers. A big hello, and thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us here on the PolkaCast.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I'm glad it finally worked out.
Yeah. It's kind of busy. The life of a traveling musician, just life in general, can sometimes create a little bit of phone tag. But you know what? It wasn't. It was pretty painless. But yes, quite a busy time of the year. I'm taking it with Oktoberfest and other gatherings, polka socials, masses, and the like.
This month alone, I'm playing 23 music dates, and I also do one-day tours. So it's been a very hectic month.
Yeah, and talk about, you know, as a year, as you know, you've been in the game for quite a long time. I was looking at it, you know, you've had the music bug for so long. 50 years, you're kind of like the Rolling Stones here of the polka and old time game.
I guess so. A little different outlook, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I think the stage show is a little bit different. I think you guys do your own thing, and you do that quite well.
You know, and actually, we're pretty well laid back. We, if you play our recordings, and we go for quality, like nice mellow sounds, relaxing sounds, because not everybody who buys our recordings dances, And it's just a nice background music. And we've always kind of styled ourselves that way. We're not a show band by any stretch. We let our music do the talking for us.
And that has generated a great following for you through the years. And we're going to get into the backstory, but shortly. But first, approximately how many gigs are you pulling these days per year? Just ballpark figures. I mean, you've been in the game for quite some time.
I'm right in the range of 200 per year, but I also do a lot of nursing homes and assisted living. My son Jason, who plays keyboard with a band, also plays drums and trumpet. We do some two-piece work with him on keyboard, and the full band, we have a five-piece group, sometimes six, and all told, we do, about 200 dates a year, and also of those dates, about 40 of them are polka masses and polka services, and then we do some of the fairs and music in the park and anniversaries, not a lot of weddings, fortunately, but we're busy.
Pretty girl is she? lives down on the other side of town. She likes to play with her glass eye and chew her chewing gum. And that's when I come calling at her door. Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I, who wants to play hide and seek? Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I, promise that you'll never peek. She's fat, she's lazy, she's cockeyed, and she's crazy, but she still means the whole wide world to me. Her false teeth, they chatter, she's got bunions on her feet. Her broken arms look like an apple tree.
I mistook for love. So take away the flowers that you gave me, and send the kind that you remind me of. Paper roses, oh how real those roses seem to be. But they're only imitation, like your imitation love for me. Look warm and so appealing, they seem to have the sweetness of a rose. But throw away the flowers that I gave you, I'll send the kind that you remind me of. Paper roses, oh how real those roses seem. But they're only imitation, like your imitation love for me.
How far out have you drifted from your home base to do gigs through the years?
Oh, we have played as far south as Branson. We did that once, and that's a number of years ago. That's got to be 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've been in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Iowa, Wisconsin, of course. We have not played in Canada, but we've been close.
Have Concertina Will Travel is definitely the moniker you live by, isn't it, with you and the rest
and
of the band?
That is actually on my schedules. Have Concertina Will Travel.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk just a little bit. Let's go even backpedal. See, from one door opens another. I want to talk a little bit about the Branson experience. You said you went there 20 years ago. And around that time, Branson was still, I mean, very high. I mean, it's still doing its thing today, but there was a lot more attention being paid to Branson. What was your take on going to Branson as a performer than per se, than going as a visitor? And what was the whole thing like experience-wise, just seeing the place and then performing?
Well, that was the first time I'd ever been there, and I've been there now about 15 times with tour groups. Uh-huh. And I'm not, like I say, I do strictly one-day tours now, but that was the very first time when we played actually a polka fest at Guitars and Cadillacs, and that's changed names a couple, three times since then, and there were not a lot of people at the polka fest. There were other bands, of course, and we also did shows while we were there, so I had other people in our families kind of taking care of that. We had three busloads, and they went to a few of the shows, and we went to the shows when we weren't playing, so it was just a hectic experience. But the times that I've been there since, we've always had a good time in Branson. But I have no desire to go anymore because I've been there too many times. Well, and I still get requests to do Branson tour again, but like I say, the interest just isn't there for me.
Mm-hmm. Is there some places, some calls you get that you just can't take because of logistical reasons? Or has there ever been that sort of case where it's been a little bit out of the area? Because I know that there's blossoming polka scenes for many years. They have moved down to the, you know, with the Snowbirds in Arizona and Texas and other spots like that. Has there been times where you've had to say no because of just the mere logistics?
We do. We've had a number of requests to play in Arizona for the Snowbirds. And also in Washington State, they have a polka fest. I believe it's right around Labor Day each year. We've been approached for that one a couple, three times. But the thing is, when I do the math on it, just by the time we drive to the destination, and we obviously need motels on the way down and back, there's really no income in it. And plus, my son Jason with the band has three little boys at home, and he's not going to take a week away from the family, you know, to go that far. And some of the other guys are still working too. It just, the interest isn't there. The interest and the lack of income, evidently.
Shake your shoes, time to lose your blues. Swing out your partner and keep in step with them. Give your hands a clap and get your feet to tap the beat of that good old rockin' rhythm. The band's really something, it's got the dancers jumping. It's just like a party, the blues are on the run. There's Rosie and Ronnie, Mary Lou and Johnny, the whole gang. Here now, let's really have some fun. Down to Alabama, it's spreading just like jam. Everybody loves it, oh brother, how it hits them. Everywhere you go, from Maine to Idaho, they're dancing that good old rockin' rhythm. shake your shoes. Time to lose your blues. Swing out your partner and keep in step with them. Give your hands a clap and get your feet to tap the beat of that good old rockin' rhythm. The band's really something. It's got the dancers jumping. It's just like a party. The blues are on the run. There's Rosie and Ronnie, Mary Lou and Johnny. The whole gang is here now. Let's really have some fun. Down to Alabama, it's spreading just like jam. Everybody loves it, oh brother, how it hits them. Everywhere you go, from Maine to Idaho, they're dancing that good old rockin' rhythm.
Let's hop into the Wayback Machine now and get a little more backstory on your life and career. And what were some of your earliest moments of discovering music? We're going to go there, of discovering music, and then what really led you to actually get, you know, beyond the listening stages and actually kind of get into playing and kind of blossom into the musician you were. Let's start back to those early days. What was that bug that bit you music-wise?
My dad had played with various groups. He played drums, concertina, button accordion, everything by ear, did not read music. And actually, as far as concertina was concerned, technically he may add a measure to a section of a song here and there, just because he was playing by ear. Mm-hmm. But he would sit down with a concertina and work on the song until he had it figured out. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, he was a better concertina player than I am. Again, I can read music and I fake and ad lib really well. I've never had a problem with that. But my dad, like I say, was a musician and he had a few bands he worked with. Eventually they became the Merrymakers, and I'm guessing very early 60s, it became the Jolly Ramblers. Mm-hmm. And I started traveling with my dad and whichever bands he was working with when I was 11.
Oh, so you were acclimated early, not only to your dad's talents, but also to watching him and even traveling to some of these gigs. So the road got into you early.
It did. And at age 11 already, I had been taking piano lessons. So if there was a piano on stage, the other bands that my dad worked with, they would let me play piano chord along. It probably couldn't be heard by the people anyway, but it sure helped me learn. And I sat in on drums because I did play drums in school. And so I worked on that, and then eventually I started taking guitar lessons in the early 60s when the Beatles were really popular.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you about. Because you know what? It was one of those unavoidable things, whether you were full into it and got enamored with it right away, or whether you just kind of came to it later. It was in that baby boom, and I had to ask, were there any of these outside preferences outside of what you were learning with your father and cutting your teeth on?
Well, and the thing is, like I say, my dad would work on a song until he learned it, either concertina or button accordion. And I always had a kazoo as a kid. And he would be playing concertina, and I would sit next to him playing the kazoo as he played. So I knew all the songs he played, but he never once told me to put that thing away or get out of here with it. He never discouraged me from sitting next to him. And you know how kazoo can be very grating after a while.
Yeah.
And then when I started taking guitar lessons, I wasn't playing Beatles music. I was playing like, "Oh, Where Have You Been, Billy Boy," mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I said, "Hey, this isn't going to make me a rock star." So I went downstairs at home one day and I picked up the concertina and I pulled out the music for Doo Doo Leaks Mit Im Herzen. And by hunt and peck, finding the buttons on each side, pull and push, the whole thing, took me about a half an hour to get through the song, but I played it, Doo Doo Leaks Mit Im Herzen, and I went upstairs and I said, "You know, Dad, I really don't want to take guitar lessons." And he said, "You've got two choices, either concertina or guitar." And I never took another guitar lesson, and the rest is history.
Thank you. weary day is through. How I long to be with you, my happiness. Every day I reminisce, dreaming of your tender kiss, always thinking how I miss my happiness. A million years, it seems, have gone by since we shared our dreams, but I'll hold you again. Skies are gray or blue, any place on earth will do. Just as long as I'm with you, my happiness. Shared our dreams, but I'll hold you again. There'll be no blue memories then. Where the skies are gray or blue, any place on earth will do. Just as long as I'm with you, my happiness.
From 1968 on, after that, that fork in the road, there's stories about hitting the crossroads of different genres. And that is kind of like your own, a little to a tamer degree, your own sort of Robert Johnson crossroads thing, whether I take this road or the other road. Hey, you could have ended up with a completely different scenario if you picked and kept that guitar. But it seems like the path you're on really led to something really, really big and really enriching, because not only did you get to play and learn with your dad, you got to develop stage presence, and you got to kind of start to get a little more, feeling like you were up an equal rank with some of these more older guys, the established musicians in the band. It was kind of like your boy becomes a man sort of thing, from what I'm getting.
It's definitely a learning experience, and I did get to meet a lot of the guys who originated the music in Minnesota through the years. I was quite young when most of them were either retiring or passing away. But I did get to know a number of them, and excellent role models in that respect. Most musicians are partiers. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm not over simplifying that, but it's a different atmosphere. It's a group in itself. But I did get to know a lot of the guys and respected their work. When I was in college, 1969, I graduated from high school and actually started playing concertina with the band in '68. Mm-hmm. But when I got into college, my dad basically handed the reins over to me as far as booking the dates and managing the band, etc. And I made some mistakes along the way, burned a few bridges, but that's the way you learn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now my son Jason, who is with the band, has grown up in the same process. He started traveling with me when he was 8.
Oh, wow.
And played drums then, and he was learning trumpet in school in fourth grade. So he played trumpet in school and went to school early a number of mornings for jazz band. And he would usually play third trumpet or whatever they needed. Well, then the drummer started not showing up. Mm-hmm. And he had been traveling with our band anyway, and this is into fifth, sixth, seventh grade. So he knew the other drummers who worked with us, and he sat and he paid attention and learned. And so he started playing drums with us, just sitting in. Well, then when the drummer didn't show up for jazz band on a regular basis, Jason ended up playing with a school jazz band when he was still in grade school.
Apple,
but he learned a whole nother style.
Tiny bubbles in the wine. Make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over, with the feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time. Here's to the golden moon, and here's to silver sea, but mostly here's a toast to you and me. Covering the shore, when I see them, my heart tells me that I love you more than all the little pearly shells. For every grain of sand upon the beach, I've got a kiss for you. And I've got more left over for each star that twinkles in the blue.
Apple didn't fall too far from the tree there. And, you know, what a way to really keep it in the family, but also, you know, take life lessons. I mean, you probably learned and sought and received a lot of wisdom from not only the players around the community and the scene, but your father, and how you were able to take that. And yes, it was a sink or swim sort of thing. It's maybe sometimes you got into the wrong end of the pool. But what was it like to be able to, you know, kind of pay that forward on to your son with the wisdom you received and the life experiences you received on the road, and kind of got him prepared for the thing? It was almost kind of watching the cycle repeat itself, but in a positive way, of course.
It absolutely has. And this is one of the most important things in my life, is to be playing music with my son, Jason. And Ken Schmidt has been with the band for 45 years. We knew each other when we were kids. He was from Watertown. I was from Lester Prairie, but he had relatives in Lester Prairie. And we got to know each other, and when we got to college, he was a year behind me. I knew that he played trumpet, and I asked him one time if he'd like to possibly play in a polka band, and he jumped all over that. And so, like I say, that's 45 years ago. But now my son, Jason's got three sons of his own, and his oldest is 8 years old, and he has played drums with us for full gigs already.
Oh, wow.
If our drummer had a conflict and I couldn't get another drummer, I'd always have to ask Jason, does Jacob want to play a job? Because we would never force it on him, because that'll turn him off pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Jacob played a number of dates with us already.
The polka generations, of course, the audiences are a little bit on the old, there's a whole bunch of people from 8 to 80 or 8 months to 88, but there you have to be kind of cognizant and aware of audiences and just the way ages, demographics change. What do you see for the future as far as the music goes, as far as creating an audience and keeping some of these younger kids that are getting hooked on it to kind of extend the traditions? Where do you see it as at this point?
Well, many times if I'm teasing Jason, I'll say, yeah, someday this will all be yours. Hmm. And it's no. When I leave the band, that'll be the end of the band.
Okay.
And so, but we have transitioned through the years. Like I say, we do about 40 polka services a year. We started doing those in 1990, and we've since done 5 gospel CDs. And we took a chance when we did the first one. I said, guys, this may not sell, and we're stuck. Well, we've done 5. And we've also adjusted our music styles. It used to be a lot more polkas and even schottisches, things like that. But as the crowd gets older, we do a lot more two-steps, nice and easy foxtrots, et cetera. And that's definitely helped because we made the transition. And when Jason and I do our two-piece work, we even do folk music. Just a wide variety. So depending upon where we're playing, what we're doing, what the venue is, we've adapted. And so we're busy. But beyond myself, as far as the age of the crowds, I don't see enough young people coming up to sustain it. It's fading because the crowds are getting older and just passing away.
One has my name, the other has my heart. With one I'll remain, that's how my heartache starts. One has brown eyes, the other's eyes are blue. To one I am tied, to the other I am true. One has my love, the other only me. But what good good is love to a heart that can't be free. So I'll go on living my life just the same. While one has my heart, the other has my name. That's how my heartaches start. One has brown eyes, the other's eyes are blue. To one I am tied, to the other I am true. One has my love, the other only me. But what good is love to a heart that can't be free? If I could live over my life, I would change. The one who has my heart would also have my name.
Touched on it briefly in your last statement there about the studio, and yeah, you talked about kind of it is a real it's not a can't miss thing, because you really have a lot of stress of not only funding it but getting in there and hoping the stuff sells. But what point did you decide that, hey, this is going to be in our better interest, let's get on into the studio and let's start making records? And what was that first studio session like in regards to putting an album together? And what was that back around 1974? Or am I incorrect with that, with the first time you guys recorded with A Barrel of Polkas?
You nailed it. 1974. And we actually recorded that at the fire station in Hutchinson. And Lester Schuft and Wally Pickle were working together, Little Crow Records. And we recorded it, like I say, in the fire station. And as we were recording that day, there was an actual fire call with the sirens going and everything. Of course, it's not on this album, but that's where it all started, 1974 in Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we recorded with Tom Mrazinski from the Mrazinski Brothers, Aleatoric Ensemble. And, you know, we're a German-Czech band, and Tom was very, very Polish. So a little out of his range as far as to be recording a German-Czech band. But the album came out all right. This is our kind of music. And I believe every other album we've done since then was with Jerry Minar. And we've done 19 total.
19 total albums, and these aren't just all polka records. There's you guys go a little more with, you know, you do. I've seen there in the back catalog, I've seen some Christian albums, I've seen some Christmas records. Let's talk about some of the concepts that you guys have taken on through the years when it comes to getting into the studio.
Well, Ken Schmidt finds a lot of the music that we record, because again, you won't hear a lot of the Minnesota bands and Wisconsin bands doing some of the music that we do, because he's gotten it from all different venues. And so he's arranged a lot of the music. Jason has arranged some. Usually any of the modern and two-steps, that kind of thing, country, I come up with most of those ideas, and then they arrange them. And Jason, too, has found some songs, especially like some of the old 50s and things like that. He'll find something on the internet or wherever. And, hey, Dad, how about this one? And I can listen to it, and usually if it's playable, I can figure it out within 5 minutes. I've got the melody down. Mm-hmm. And so then I can tell them, well, you know, this is all right. So, but we get our music from all over.
Before we get into where, you know, our listeners can procure some copies of some of these great releases, you also talked earlier about some of the places that you bring your sound to your group to. You talked about the polka masses, you talked about this and that, but another one I wanted you to talk about, and this one must be really, really close to your heart, and it's been an important part of your life, is some of the music that you guys have been bringing to some of the hospice patients through the years. Talk about how you got involved with that, and just talk about what that experience is like to bring joy, especially in people in that stage of life.
I did hospice for just about 10 years, and I've been out of it. I believe the end of December will be 3 years already since I've done that. But in the close of 10 years, I did approximately just under 1,500 visits. I saw 300 and some different people, and it was awesome. It was an experience just beyond words. A lot of people would say, well, how can you do that? But then you also look at your nurses and your hospice people who do that work, and how can they do it? It's just you either can or you can't, and you've certainly got to be very caring. You've got to be very understanding, patient, but the situations that I was in with hospice were something I'll never forget, of course. So it was pretty amazing.
Drove a herd of cattle down from old Nebraska way. That's how I came to be in the state of Iowa. I met a girl in Iowa, her eyes were big and blue. I asked her what her name was, she said Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue, I'd swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue. Thank you. a beau? She said, yes, quite a few. But still I started courting my sweet Sioux City Sue. The first time that I stole a kiss, I caught her stealing too. I asked her, did she love me? She said, indeed I do. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue. I swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue. Cause I come from Nebraska to find Sioux City Sue. I'm gonna rope and tie her up, I'll use my old lasso. I'm gonna put my brand on my sweet Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue. I swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue.
Now we're going to get into, because we're getting close to wrapping up our time together today. We're talking with Chuck Thiel, of course. I want to know, where can the listeners find out a little bit more about your comings, your goings, or where can a person get some records, some CDs or cassettes? Where's the music at, man?
Okay, you won't find us with any cassettes anymore. We finally got rid of those.
Finally done. When was the last cassette sold? Because we have Kathy Erickson up here, and we were down at the State Fair, and she had some cassettes that she gave out of some polka stuff that she'd done. I was just aghast. I'm like, wow, you still had those? Yeah, I had to get rid of them.
I had, I believe it was 2 years ago, we sold our last cassette, either last summer or the summer before, and we were selling them then for $1 a piece, just, you know, to get them out there, get rid of them. I still got some old albums available, but as far as finding our music, I am on the internet, jollyramblers@aol.com. Easy to find there. Or you can find me on Facebook, Chuck Thiel, or even there's a Jolly Rambler site that Jason put together for me. But any information you can get according, you know, just check out the internet or give me a call. My home phone number is 320-395-2746. And I've got lists of all of our available recordings. And like I say, if you send me an email or find me on Facebook, I'm certainly ready to respond. So I'd love to hear from some folks.
All right. I'm going to leave the floor to you here. And if you have any last bits you'd like to mention to the fans, some advice or some hellos, the floor is yours here. If you have one more message for your fans and listeners out there today on the PolkaCast.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I know that a lot of weekends when we're on the road, Jason brings with his cell phone and whatever other gadgets he's got. And I'm not that electronically adept, but we listen to your show many times when we're on the road. Jason has it on a lot, especially on our longer trips. He brings it along, and if we're within range, we've got it on. So we do get to hear you quite often. And I appreciate what your station is doing for polka music, obviously. And just like I say, I hope to hear from some folks. If you've got some interest in our music, we would love to send it your way. And especially now with Christmas coming, it's a good time for it.
Thank you, Mr. Chuck Thiel, for taking some time out. It was great talking with you. And I think we should book this again sometime down the line.
That would be fine with me. Thank you so much.
I remember the night I met you, my love. Your eyes were blue as the blue skies above. I was dancing on clouds with you in my arms. I lost my heart to your charms. When we waltzed alone o'er the crowded floor, then I knew I'd love you forevermore. With your lips so close, how could I resist? All the world was mine when we kissed. we have lived with love as our guide. I'll always hope that you'll be by my side, and forever we'll be together, I know. Blue eyes, I love you so.
Big thank you goes out to Mr. Chuck Thiel, and make sure you're checking your calendar out. You never know when Chuck Thiel and the Jolly Ramblers will be in your neighborhood. This Polka Profiles is brought to you courtesy of the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and was recorded at the Pioneer 90.1 KSRQ Studios in Thief River Falls, Minnesota in November 2016.